Open to Psalm 28. Take your Bible and look at Psalm 28. And I want you to keep your Bibles open for a minute because we're going to look at this. Because I'm telling you, if a man got up here and said this to me, I'd be all ears. So y'all listen tonight. It'll help you. Y'all listen tonight. You don't come to church on Wednesday night just because you're obligated to. I mean, if that's only, I mean, you should. But there ought to be another reason. You ought to come wanting something from the Lord. And so we're here tonight to address this issue of the silence of God. Why do we pray and pray and pray and pray for something and about something and nothing changes? Unto thee, Psalm 28 verse 1, will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. And then he goes on and on and on down through there. I'll stop reading, but he said in verse 1, don't be silent. This has been one of the main man's problems for many, many years. In times of difficulty, people say, if there is a loving God, and if there's a God up there, why is he silent? Why does he allow things to happen like he does? Why didn't God prevent that from happening? How come God didn't stop my mother from being sick like she was? Give me up just a little bit on this, brother. The Lord could have just let my mom live a happy life and die of old age. Why didn't he stop it? We prayed for certain things, and the Lord didn't do it. And all of us, Brother Danny, I've got a kid that's rebelled, or I've got a husband that's lost, or I've got a family member that won't do it. And I pray and pray and pray. Why don't God do something about that? Why don't he? When God is silent, I'm going to talk about that for a minute, and you're welcome to help me, and we'll try to answer. The devil will try to discourage you, and he'll try to get you convinced that either God ain't listening or there ain't no God. That's what he'll try to get you to believe. Now, man has a twofold answer to this problem. The world tonight answers this problem in one of two ways. If you can hear it on talk shows, people like Larry King and people like that, they have two answers to this question. Why does God allow wars? Why does God allow kids to be born deformed? Why does God allow little babies to suffer? Why does he allow little bitty kids to get cancer and all their hair fall out and suffer and cry? Why? And the world has two answers. The first answer they have is deism. Deism. Deity is what God is. And the person who answers it this way says, God is God, but he's just not he's a supernatural being. He's not interested in the affairs of men. In other words, he's not the God of the Bible. He's just a God somewhere that made everything and then went off out in outer space and made something else. And therefore, he's not interested in our affairs. The other answer is atheism. There is no God. And the silence of God proves there is no God. And by the way, tonight, folks, that has made a lot of people atheist. There's a lot of people that are atheists, and you ask them why, and they'll say, because I went to Vietnam, and I saw people get their legs and arms blowed off, and I saw them little children suffering in China and India and Africa, and everything said there couldn't be a God. There couldn't be a God. They'll say, I'm an old wicked man, and I would fix that if I could. So if there's a God, he would have fixed that. And it makes them an atheist. Now, their problem is they're trying to rush him. They're trying to rush him. Don't you worry. He's going to fix it. Just don't get in such a hurry. God has a plan. And just because he don't jump when we think he ought to jump don't mean he ain't there. So tonight, their answer is deism or atheism. But you and I tonight know neither one of those answers are true. We know there's a God. We know the old account was settled long ago. So how are we going to take the silence of God? I mean, we're Christians. We're Christians. I never cease to amaze me some of these radio and TV preachers. There's this one lady that I listen to 2 or 3 days a week because she comes on radio Black Mountain right before me, and it amazes me. This woman
Actually, she is a pretty good preacher. I mean, some of the stuff she says is good, but she's into all this stuff, and she comes on her and she says, praise God, we've got to take authority over our sicknesses and everything. And she says that she ain't been sick since 1972 or 3 or something like that. She says, praise God, we took authority over all that sickness. She said, Lord, please, why won't you heal me? She said, you're already healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'd love for that to be true. I really, really wish that was true. Now, I don't know. I don't know what her deal is. I don't know. But she's always saying, praise God. She said, my husband had seizures. She said, every week, about 15 or 20 seizures a week. She said he was in one of these churches that said God put sickness on you, like his Baptist probably. She said he was one of these churches where it said God put sickness on people and it was a will of God for him to suffer. And finally he got out of that and a man prophesied over him. He's never had a seizure since. That may be true. I'm not denying God can't do that. She said that when I first got saved, she said I couldn't wait till I got sick so I could claim healing and get healed. I thought, I never wanted to be sick so I could see if God was going to heal me. You crazy. But she said, I've never been sick. Never been sick. And she thinks if you're sick, that you claim your healing. And if you don't get healed, it's because of your lack of faith or because you doubted or you got some kind of sin in your life or something other like that. Now, folks, from a careful study of the Bible and pastoring a church since I was barely 23 years old, I'm telling you, that is not right. That can't be right. That can't be right. You can't say that a person doubts just because they don't get healed. Some of the greatest saints, Fanny Crosby is blind. You mean tell me Fanny Crosby wasn't right with God or didn't have enough faith? She wrote Blessed Assurance. She wrote, to God be the glory, and you try and tell me Fanny Crosby had no faith or she'd got healed? No. Now, they would say, are you trying to tell me God wanted Fanny Crosby? I don't know. I don't know if he did or he didn't. Somebody puts poison in her eyes when she's 6 weeks old, and she's blind the rest of her life. I don't know. But I do know one thing. Just because God don't do something right when you want it done does not mean that he's gone or quit or went out of business, and it don't mean you ain't saved or you got sin in your life. How many of y'all work with some of these characters that they're all this spiritual and this hallelujah, hallelujah, and they'll come in and you'll come in and say, man, I got a headache, and they'll say, no, don't confess that headache, because that headache demon's bothering you. Now listen, just because you say you got a headache don't mean you're confessing a headache demon. They ain't no use in walking around saying, the devil's trying to tell me my back's hurting, but I'm not going to accept it. Well, you nut. Your back is hurting. That ain't the devil. It really is hurting. You can't say the devil's trying to tell me I got a backache, but I'm not going to accept it in Jesus' name. Well, that's cuckoo. That's mind over matter. You're trying to say, I'm just not going to accept it. I hate to tell you, but you ain't. Ain't no choice. You don't have a choice. You've got a backache. Ain't no accepting to it. But I tell you what you can do. You can ask the Lord to heal you. Now, when I get sick, first thing I do, brother, is I start praying God heal me. When I had them kidney stones, you know, about a year and a half ago, I had one, you know, and I think, oh, Lord, man, I walked the floor and I prayed, and I walked the floor and I prayed, and I walked the floor and I prayed, and I called Heather, and she called me in some medicine, and I took ibuprofen, Tylenol, goody powders, everything. And I'm telling you, buddy, that stuff like that don't phase kidney stone. It don't faze. They say it's the same as labor pains. You know, women that have had kidney stones and babies, I've had women say the kidney stone was worse. I've had them tell me that. And I mean, you get one just right, it felt like somebody's taking a baseball bat and hitting me right here. That's what it feels like. And I was walking the floor, and I'd look at the clock, sweat popping out on my head, and I said, God, heal me. God, please. And I said, I'm going to give it 10 more minutes. And I said, I'm going to the hospital if you don't heal me. And I don't go to the emergency room because I got a job, and that means I have to pay for it. And I didn't want to go. I don't want to go to no emergency room. And I know it's $800. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go to the emergency room. And I, I, uh, uh, I said, I ain't going. God, heal me. I was scared to take too much medicine. You know, I'm scared of it. And I remember I was walking the bedroom floor, and I said, it's 15 after 6 in the morning. And I said, if I ain't better by 6:30, I'll go to the hospital. And I walked and I prayed. Now I walked and I prayed. 6:30, it wasn't no better. You say, why didn't you lay down? You can't lay down. You can't lay down. You can't sit down. You can't. There's no real. All you can do is just walk around like this. Okay. And I'm telling you, brother, it hurts. You better hope and pray you never get nothing like that. And you know what? I said, well, if I ain't better by 15 to 7, I'm going to the hospital. And I went on like that. Finally, I went downstairs, told Krista, she was in her bed asleep. I said, honey, I have got to go to the hospital. I'm sorry. She took me up there. No, it wasn't. It was like 5 o'clock in the morning. And, buddy, they took me in there. I mean, I threw up. And I hadn't threw up since 1993. Last time I threw up. It had been 17 years since I threw up. And the reason I remember it, because I got sick and got the flu, and I threw up in 1993, and I've not threw up one time. I don't throw up. And I threw up, it was hurting so bad. And we went in the hospital, and they put me in, and suddenly they put a shot in me of something, and it just eased me right out, man. I was out, buddy, for a while. And then I got all right. And then, you know, and it's our, and old Bobby Dobson, he has them about once every 6 months. I got a cousin, Mark Blaney. Some of y'all know Mark. Mark's had something like 200 kidney stones just every few days. They put stents in your kidneys and stuff. Some people just manufacture them things, and they try to claim it's milk, and they try to claim it calcium, and they try to claim it. I don't know if they've ever figured out what causes them, but the water and everything else. But I'll tell you one thing. I was saying, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. And the Lord didn't heal me. But I got better. I mean, you know, he did eventually. But you can't say just because God don't do something that he's not there, or he or you're not saved. You say, well, do you have sin? Son, I confessed every sin I'd done, stuff I didn't do. I said, if I've ever even thought about it, God forgive me. That's right. You let that pain hit your body, you'll confess them sins. I guarantee you, son, that pain's got a way of making you get your heart right with God. I guarantee you. This old flesh, that's why the Bible said, he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. You know? Man laying there in the hospital bed, your body hurting, 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 hurting real bad. Yeah, he don't say, hand me a deck of cards, let's get drunk. You know, he's hurting. That pain make you quit your sinning, just like that. Well, anyway, when you come up against stuff like this, let's look at the silence of God as a Christian. As a Christian, there are basically four ways and four views that me and you handle the silence of God. Now, if there that lady that I listened to on the radio, if she was in here tonight, she'd say, you're a hypocrite. You ain't got enough faith. All you got to do is claim it in Jesus' name. And I really, really wish that was true. I wish it was true. I'd love to be able to stand up here and tell all y'all, anything that's wrong with you, if you'll just claim it, the Lord will heal you. Now, when you say that, people say, well, if you have enough faith, God can heal. God does heal. Don't you get me wrong. I've seen the Lord touch people. I've been healed myself. But you cannot just say, well, every time anything goes wrong with me, I just run up here and say, Lord, heal me. And he just does it like that. It don't happen that way. Every one of them guys on TV that heal wear glasses. Every one of them, won't they heal herself? Oral Roberts, every single one of them wear glasses. I mean, I'm not being ugly tonight. Thank God he does heal. Thank God he can heal. But sometimes, I can prove it in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, he raised dead people. He took a handkerchief from his body and sent it to people and they'd get well. And before his ministry was over, he recommended Timothy to take medicine. Yeah. He said, take a little wine for your stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Why didn't he heal Timothy? Why didn't he send Timothy a prayer call? Because as the ministry shifted from Old Testament to New Testament and from Jew to Gentile, the sign gifts faded. The sign gifts were miracles, speaking in tongues, and healings. The sign gifts are to Israel. Don't get me wrong. That does not mean God couldn't make me speak Chinese if he wanted to. He can do it. That does not mean God can't heal. He can do it. But I don't have the gift of healing like the apostles had it. And you don't either. There ain't no apostles right now. There ain't no apostles. If a man has the gift of healing like Peter had it in the Bible, why don't he go over here at Grace Hospital and just go from room to room? Tink, 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 tink. He can empty that place. And the last thing he'd ever have to do is get on TV and take up an offering. You'd have more money than you could ever spend. But the truth is, they can't do it. They just want you to think they have. I hate to say that, but the truth. You say, well, I believe God can heal. I do too. God's a healer. He can heal. You're sick tonight, come up here and we'll anoint you with oil and lay hands on you and we'll pray. But God has to do it, and he'll do it in his time, when, where, and how he sees fit to do it. The Apostle Paul recommended Timothy medicine as the ministry changed, as the sign gifts faded out. God can make me speak Chinese right now. And if I spoke Chinese, you better believe it's the Lord doing it. And I don't know one word in Chinese, not one word, but he could do it. If there's a Chinese man sitting right there and the Lord wanted me to talk to him, I don't have no doubt at all God could do that. I tell you what he's done. The Lord's given me thoughts and stuff while I was preaching, and people say, how in the world do you know that? If he can do that, he can make me speak Chinese. Amen? Sure he can. But you don't, this stuff of, well, you didn't have enough faith. If you don't get healed, you didn't have enough faith. Well, how much faith do them dead people have? None. I mean, you can't go up to a dead man and say, only believe, all things are possible. I mean, they ain't got no faith. The healer is the one that had the faith and the power. If they had the faith, he's unnecessary. Amen? I didn't mean to get off on all that. Had no idea I was going to talk about all that. Somebody? That's right.
And when Lazarus got sick, they sent for him, and he heard about it 2 days, and he said he stayed there 2 days.
Yeah.
And he knew he was sick.
That's exactly right. That's a good point.
For 2 days he didn't come, and they got upset with the Lord.
Yep. No doubt. No doubt about it. That's a good point, brother. You think about that. Why would he do that? I mean, I don't know why he did it. He had a reason for it. I guess he figured if I'd go over there now, he's sick, and they'd want me to go ahead and heal him. But I want him to go ahead and die so he can have a bigger miracle or something.
And it's easier to preach on, but when it's happening to you, it don't
stop. That's right. Listen, y'all, if I got another kidney stone or something like that, I'm going to beg y'all to pray for me. Lay, I don't care if you call Benny Hinn and everybody else. Let them. I'll take it. I'll take anybody's prayers. I mean that. I'm not saying these people ain't saved or nothing. But I'm saying sometimes God don't do it when we ask him to.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, I'm praying for a husband. How come the Lord ain't heard me? I don't know. I don't know. I'm praying for a wayward child. Why don't God? I don't know, but I know God don't always just jump when we ask him to jump.
Right.
Sometimes, and so there's basically four views that we as Christians, I'm going to go over them with you right now. Let's look at the silence of God as a Christian. Number one, there's what we call common sense. Common sense. This is Psalm 68, verse 18. Sometimes it is deliberate sin on our part and in our life. I mean, let's eliminate that first.
Yeah.
We can't expect God to answer our prayers when we're deliberately living in a way that he's not pleased with. I'm talking about deliberate sin. You can't just live any old way you want to and say, well, Lord, why don't you answer my prayer? The Bible said we have what we ask of him because we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, you're not justified by works, but if you want your prayers answered, you will try to live a godly, clean life. The Bible said in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I have friends, Brother Jason knows the friends that I'm talking about. And some of these guys, they're off just a little bit in their doctrine, and they're into this teaching. The reason I'm saying this is because I had a preacher ask me about it yesterday. They're off in their doctrine a little bit, and they say, it really don't matter how you live. We're saved by grace, and God don't see our sins. And I'm going to tell you something. That's false doctrine.
Yeah.
It does matter. It does matter what we do. Now, it's part true. We are saved by grace, but they don't understand the difference between your state and your standing. Those are two great doctrines in the Bible. Your standing in Christ is perfect. All your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. God sees no sin. That's your standing. Your state is ever how you happen to be living at any certain time. That changes from day to day. The state you're in, God looks at you judicially like you've never have sinned and never will sin. God looks at you practically on the life that you're living. So the Lord does both. And some of these fellows, they go overboard on what we call hyper grace, and they think it don't matter what you do. It does matter what you do. And I know Psalm 66 is in the Old Testament, but still, I can't just go out here and cheat and lie and live wicked and commit sin and everything and say, all right, Lord, bless me and bless my kids. I'm supposed to turn from every known sin that I possibly can. And when I do something wrong, I'm supposed to say, I repent of it. So that's the common sense view. The Bible said in the New Testament, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong that he has done, and there is no respect of person. The Bible said in the New Testament, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That ain't just lost people. Any man. Be sure your sin will find you out. There is a judgment on sin, and it's got nothing to do with salvation. It's here in this life. So that's the common sense view. The second view is the reverential view. The reverential view is, basically, is it right for us little peewee brains to question God Almighty? He knows what's best. Who art thou to reply against God? That's the reverential view. And that's a good view to take sometimes. The reverential view says, hey, he's God, I'm a stupid little person, he knows, and I'm going to trust him. That's the second way a Christian can view it. The first view is common sense. Lord, if I'm doing something wrong, show me. And that's the first thing I do when I get hurt or have bad stuff happen. I say, Lord, if I've got sin in my life, get it out. My girls, they'll tell you right now. They'll tell you right now. When one of them gets sick or anything, I call them and say, you been doing something wrong? Daddy, that don't necessarily mean, I didn't say you was. I just said, are you? First thing I think. So when I got kidney stone, Carrie called me, Daddy, doing something wrong? Fair's fair, ain't that right? And I said, by the grace of God, I'm doing the best I can. Now I'm talking about deliberate sin. I know people disagree with me on stuff like that, but I tell you what, I've had the Lord hit me just like that when I sin. Just like that. Hadn't you? I mean, I have. I remember back when I hadn't been saved long, I sinned one time. I got drunk. No, I didn't. I remember I'd done something, and I said, boy, I've really done wrong with the Lord and everything. And it wasn't 5 minutes till I had a flat tire, and I had something like that. You say, oh, that would have happened anyway. In my mind, that was the Lord dealing with me. Now, sometimes you can be living right and have a flat tire. I'm not saying just because bad stuff happens, it's a judgment of God. But it sure is coincidental when right after you do something wrong, here come, bow, here come. And you know it. When the Lord takes you to the woodshed, you know you've been took to the woodshed. If something bad happens to you tomorrow, I ain't going to think you've been sinning, I promise. But it will cross your mind. If it's a result of sin, then I won't quit it. Now, if it's just one of them things, persecution, or that's just life. Sometimes it's just life. Your car tires up. It's just life. We're in a sin-cursed world. It don't mean you're doing nothing wrong. But sometimes it is a direct result of doing something wrong. Reverential view. Number three, there's the dispensational view. The dispensational view says, this is the day of grace when God speaks through his word, and we're not in the days of the apostles, which I've already went over. There was 400 years of silence before he came the first time. There's 400 years of silence there to there before he comes the second time. And our dispensation is God don't just talk to people in audible voices, and he speaks through his word. Now that's another good view. I'm awful leery of these people that's always saying, God told me this and God told me that, and like them and the Lord just has this real little special little thing going on. And well, I told him and the Lord said do this, and then I went around and the Lord said do that. Lord, it ain't that simple, people. It ain't that simple. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, you hear me tonight? You got to remember that God is God. He'll do what he pleases when he pleases. And you ain't going to give him... I've heard people... But Jason, I've heard them guys on the radio... like they're trying to order God around. God, I command this in Jesus' name, and you've got to do it. I tell you, but he don't got to do nothing. He don't got to do nothing. He won't break his word, but you don't give God orders. Amen? You don't give God orders, buddy. Here's a little old peewee man down there, he ain't a speck on the planet, telling God what to do. Lord have mercy. Somebody said it like one time, they said, the lion in the jungle, where does he sleep? And somebody said, anywhere he wants to. That's the way God is, brother. He does what he wants to do. That's the dispensational view. And then there's the faith view. John 13:7. Thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Sometimes you just got to trust the Lord. You just got to trust him and say, I don't know why this is happening. God, I'm as right as I know how to be. I'm trying to do right, and I'm just going to trust you if this is for the glory of God. You know, there's one time in the Bible where Jesus said a sickness was for the glory of God. Amen. Sure did. John chapter 9, he's over there and that man was sick, and they said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And the Lord said, neither one of them. He wasn't saying they never sinned. He said this sickness wasn't a result of either one of them sin, but that the works of God may be manifest. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it ain't. Well, see, they were saying like I said a minute ago, oh, that man must have done something awful. He's born blind. Or his parents must have done something awful because their kid was born. You can't say that. I've heard people say when somebody had a kid that there was something wrong with people. Boy, they must have done something awful. You better shut your mouth. You better shut your mouth. You're not the judge of what happened. I've heard people say, see what happened to old so-and-so? Yeah, that same thing liable to happen to you, big boy, one of these days. We're not in the place to say God put something on somebody because they sinned. Now, me personally, I know when I'm getting a whipping. And I know when the devil's fighting me. There's a difference. But you can't judge on somebody else. You just got to say, Lord, I've got this sickness. I'm confessing everything I know to confess. I'm doing everything I know to do. And I'm begging you in Jesus' name to heal me and touch me. And your will be done, I'll trust you anyway. And that's the best thing to do when God's out. Somebody else want to say something right quick? Now I got a couple more things to say and we're going to be done. All right, the conclusion here tonight is this. God is still there. You hear me? God is still there. Though you cannot hear him, you cannot feel him, you cannot see him, he's still there. Right now, I cannot see the sun, I cannot feel the sun, and I cannot touch the sun, I cannot hear the sun, but I'll guarantee you the sun's still out there shining. And that's the way you got to do God. As a matter of fact, we're more sure that God's still there than the sun's still shining. Something might have happened to it. It might have blowed up in the last little bit. But I guarantee you, you can't see him, you can't feel him, you can't hear him, but thank God he's still there. The sun's shining on a cloudy day. One of the greatest truths I've ever heard preached by preachers is even when the sun's shining, the clouds are overcast and it's pitch dark, that you can still know the sun's shining. And boy, I tell you something, life can get rough, y'all. I don't know if y'all been keeping up with it, but my interest in court case, this Casey Anthony thing that's been going on this week, how many of y'all kept up with a little bit of that story? Several of you. I'm telling you, that's the awfulest mess I've heard in a long time. I feel so sorry for that whole family, even her. You know, people say, how could you feel sorry for that low-down sorry? I don't know. I just do. I feel sorry for her. I feel sorry for her mom and dad. I feel sorry for her brother. I mean, that little baby is dead. And there she got on the stand and accused her daddy of molesting her and her brother. And who knows if she's telling the truth or not. I don't know. And then he got on the stand and denied it. And now the grandbaby's dead and she's on trial for her life. And everybody in the United States is talking about it. All the talk show hosts are talking about it. Old Nancy Grace and all them and all the news programs are talking. And I thought, Lord, that life of sin. If you want my opinion, Here's my opinion. It may not be right, but I think it is. I think she wanted to party real bad, and her mom wouldn't keep her kid all the time, and she thought she'd be smart and got that chloroform feel or whatever that stuff is that's supposed to knock them out. She was going to knock it out, leave it in the car, and put that tape on his mouth so she wouldn't cry. And then she died, and she tried to hide it and cover it up, and she's got herself in a mess. I don't think she deliberately killed her. That's my opinion. I might be wrong. It's just hard for me to believe. But anyway, that's an awfulest mess I ever seen. So when people are in a mess like that, they said her daddy, George Anthony, was sitting there in the courtroom with an open Bible in his lap this week. They know that there's a God up there and who to turn to when times get bad. And I do too. When times get bad, I know where to turn to. The Lord Jesus Christ. And y'all keep your faith in the Lord. Just because he don't answer your prayers, remember my philosophy. Hope for the best. Expect the worst. Take what comes. Keep your mouth shut and thank God you ain't in hell. That's right. Amen. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Listen, that man right there, he's going through something ain't nobody the rest of us going through right now that I know of. And, I mean, we may be worse off than him. I don't know, not know it. But I'll tell you one thing. We need to pray for him, and we need to ask God, just like we'd want somebody to pray for us if it was us. And it might be before it's over with. But I admire Bo. He's keeping his faith in the Lord. He ain't getting mad at God. He's not charging God foolishly. He's saying, Lord, your will be done. And that takes a lot. That's all you can do in a situation like that. That's all you can do. And God might just reach down here and heal him any second. He can do it. Amen? But if he don't, we're going to trust him anyway. That's like he said, that's easy to preach and hard to practice when it's us. Don't get discouraged and give up and say, well, I'm going to quit serving you. Look, we ain't in hell. If God never done nothing else for us, we still ought to serve him. Yeah.
Continue to pray and get almost raise my voice and say, God, I need help here. And the Lord show up right then. And when I get frustrated and I'm
right.
frustrated, prayed, and the Lord show up that second and answer.
Him. Amen. Yeah, he can do it.
And that's happened to me several times.
Amen. He can do it. The thing you got to remember is if he don't get mad at him.
Yeah.
Don't get, because he's got your life in his hands. You think you got it bad now? He can really make it bad if he wants to. We've all been blessed. Anybody else, right quick? Well, let me give you a couple things here. Y'all come and go visiting with us Saturday. Y'all, come on. We need some help out here on Saturday. Come and go visit Saturday morning at 9:30. All of us, we did pretty good Sunday, but we want to have a big crowd for the Foresters this Sunday morning. Bring somebody with you to Sunday school, and we're going to be talking about our graduates. Those are graduating high school, college, and also some other special things. So don't miss Sunday morning, okay? Amen. And then be here for Sunday school, and we'll have the Foresters with us. All right, let's all stand.